Brother Bragg, you're in a church that loves missions and loves missionaries, and we support missions and always seek and pray and ask God that we'd be able to continue to expand what we're doing. But it's wonderful to be able to have Brother Ron Bragg with us today. I've looked forward to this date ever since we've talked on the phone. And folks, if you'll get your Bible, you're going to hear from God today. Open your hearts. Brother Bragg, come preach to us.
I told the Sunday school class about my new dog eating my preaching Bible. So if I have a little trouble here this morning, why? And the word was sweet to his lips. You know, as the scripture says, that brother over here brought that out a while ago. Man, I'll tell you what. I want to thank you for taking care of my kids. Hannah and the kids are just doing great. I don't care anything at all about Luke. But I'm still a hillbilly, and Luke, he's not converting easy, I'll tell you right now. But he sure has got over some of his timid spirit, I'll tell you that. I had him on the phone the other day, and I said, Luke, are you ever going to shut up? And couldn't get him to talk to start with, you know, but now just the other way around. Just love, folks, just what they sang about. And I'll tell you, when you're in a loving church, you can feel it. You can really feel it. And I know the pastor and his dad, I know they've been in churches like I have. And maybe this is a spiritual condition, I don't know. But when I got in the car and headed down the road, I said, praise God. Because you felt so much tension and so much, it was a terrible place. And you get up and you preach your heart out, and you just feel like, I want to tell you folks, you'll praise God for this place if you ever go visit another church. You will. You really will. We had a few weeks back that said, well, you know, this church is just not meeting our needs. I get so sick of that excuse. And they went and visited a whole bunch of other churches. And a couple of weeks ago, they came back. And they said, there's not another church around here like this. So, amen, you're welcome. It works. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and I brought a whole bunch of notes. Just hope I don't have to use many of them. I might need them because all them places I have marked in that old Bible, they're a German shepherd took care of them. 2 Timothy, and of course, you know that this is a very personal letter from an old preacher to a young man. And it happened just before Paul left this earth. He was getting ready to go to heaven. And Paul was trying to leave just a little bit of himself to a young man that was going to carry the load there at Ephesus. You know that Ephesus, they lost their first love, by the way. Ephesus was also the seed of cults and Diana worship, and Artemis cult was there, just all kinds of things. And as we study this book, you find out that Timothy was sick, he was in a hard place, and he was discouraged. And he's in one of the most difficult places that he could be. I say this, and you've heard me say it before, there's no easy places to serve God. No matter where you go, it's going to be, you're going to have your difficulties. Now, last month in South Africa, I really thought I was in heaven. After working on the desert for years, why, South Africa is just a paradise. And some of the missionaries down there, they have a hard time with it because they said, we have it so good here physically that we don't really feel like missionaries. And so, here, young Timothy is going to get some instruction from the Apostle Paul, and I think we can use this today, and maybe I'm bringing this for my own encouragement. Last week was a rough week and had to deal with some difficult things. And so maybe this is for me, I don't know, but I think maybe it might hit some of you. And if it doesn't, why, I'll change my message and I'll get you somewhere along the way. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day that you've given us to serve you. We thank you for this dear pastor and these dear people that have been faithful for so many years in so many ways. And Lord, we just pray that as we read these verses this morning and make these comments, that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will have the preeminence in everything that we're going to say and do. We praise you and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just thought about it, and I've told about it all over the country, about this church. The last time I was here, and I'm not asking them to do it this time because I'm using them as an example, but the last time I was here, we left on Sunday night, and we was staying in a little motel over here a few miles, and we went out to the car. Don and I went out to the car, and the teenagers of this church had put little notes all over my car. And I've never forgotten that. Never had that happen in my whole life. And I've told that story about this church all over the country. And so, you know what happens here when you have guest speakers come in? It does get all over the world. And thank God for a loving church that cares about people. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Paul was a very special person in the life of Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing, I have remembrance. Now, you're going to find that word throughout 2 Timothy. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, that's the kind of man that I want praying for me, that doesn't forget me when I get 10,000 miles around the world, but stays on the prayer altar for me. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, there it is again. And since Mother's Day is coming up, pay close attention to these verses here. I think maybe because maybe Paul had trained him and Paul had led him to the Lord, we give Paul more credit than he has due. When I see these verses here, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You see, these two ladies were very special to this young preacher. They started getting their Bible training at their feet. And when I think about the Muslim family today, and when that child is just walking and starting to utter a few words, they're already memorizing verses from the Quran. And then years later, when the missionary comes, it takes them years to break through that mold that has been set by their parents in those early days. I believe with all my heart that as good a pastor and as good a deacons as you may have and as good a Sunday school teachers that you might have, I want you to know, Mom, and I want you to know, Grandma, that you have more influence probably over these young people than all of the other people put together, because you have access to them. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, there it is again, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us, this is a good verse, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That word also means timidity. That word also means cowardice. He's not given us that spirit of a coward, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I say this, we have a negative statement with positive results. He asked him in the verse preceding, stir up the gift, I want to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And Paul's admonition to Timothy throughout these few short chapters, first of all in chapter 1 there, he says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Verse 13, he says, hold fast. Hold fast. Today, in our day, we're seeing that people are not holding fast. They're going here, hither and yon. Then he says in chapters 2 and verses 3 and 4, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are in God's army this morning, and there will be difficult days, and we do need to endure, and we need to hold fast. He also says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved. Flee youthful lusts, he says in verse chapter 2 and verse 22. Continue in chapter 3 and verse 14. Preach the word in chapter 4 and verse 2. But watch thou in chapter 4 and verse 5. I think maybe one of the key verses, and I'm going to read it right here at the start, since I've already lost my outline anyway. Chapter 3, I got the wrong chapter here. Okay, verse 14, just look at it for a moment. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And here it is again. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. From a child they started getting the truth. Hey, I want to tell you something. Families here will, you know, this church will never be any stronger, and you've heard this many times, than the families that represent it. There's a lot of young people here today. What are you going to do with your life? The things that's been committed to you in the teaching of these Sunday school teachers and your parents, when you get out in the way, are you just going to have that fling and forget about everything that you've been studying here in this church all these years? Well, I want you to know this, you'll never get away from it. You'll never get away from it, no matter how hard you try, because it's something that God has planted in your heart. Verse 8 of chapter 1. Let's go back to our reading. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Now here, Paul, who's about to go to heaven, he's the one, Nero's in power, one of the most wicked, ungodly dictators of all time, ruthless man, and Paul knows he's leaving. He says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'll tell you what, well, I won't even go into it. You get into what's going on here in the United States of America. I heard about that church out in California, that school, public school, that's requiring the students to read the Quran. When we cannot read the Bible in our own schools today across America, then, hey, I'm going to tell you something. What the pastor said about Canada and Mexico, in Uganda, the government officials are begging the missionaries to come and teach Bible in the public schools, and we're doing it. Hey, I want to tell you something. If we can't do it here, we'll go where we can. But it shouldn't be that way. Now look at this. Let's go on. I've got to get my text somewhere. Whereunto, verse 11, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, and you go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at all that Paul went through. The book of Philippians, he was in jail. No church would have supported Paul as a missionary because he was shipwrecked, he was being flogged, he was being led over the wall in a basket to flee the Jews. Hey, he was always in trouble or always in jail. he wouldn't have got support from any independent church. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know. I love those verses, those three words. For I know whom I have believed. Do you know this morning in whom you've put your trust, the trust of your salvation? The trust. I say this, and if I repeat myself, it's okay. We believe the Word of God when it says that Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, formed the universe, hung the stars in space, created man. We get excited about that. And yet when it comes to that time when you and I are going to ship out to glory, I wonder if he's really going to do it or not. We come to a place where we have to take up an offering to get the gospel around the world. Well, I don't know that God can. We just need the money here. Hey, if he can't supply here, what makes us think that he's going to supply a way to get us to glory? Well, we all know the Bible says it, and it doesn't matter what you believe about it. It's so anyway. Amen. It's so anyway. For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. That means convinced beyond all doubt. I'm persuaded that he is able. And there's my verse again in 2 Corinthians. He is able. He is able not only to do what he's done in the Bible, but he's able to take care of you and I today, in this day, just like he did those that in that day. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep. Now, I love that too. Keep. And that word kept has the idea of an army guarding a fortress against all intrusions. Speaking of your mind in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to tell you something this morning, folks. If I did not believe I was kept, I'm not sure I'd ever got saved. Because I'll tell you what, I've done enough bad things now. God could have dropped me anytime he wanted to. I say this morning, we are kept by the power of God, not by our own power, but we're kept by the power and the promises of the Word of God, and you're not going to be dropped off in hell someday. If you do bad, you just have to get right with God and go on. And God will bring up, the devil will bring up all your past. And I saw a sign on church yesterday that says, if he brings up your past, then you bring up his future. Glory to God. Amen. I like that. Now look at this. Verse 13, he says again, let me read that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, and that's talking about a deposit. That deposit is that deposit of the gospel which by faith you accepted into your heart at one time or another, and you are standing here or sitting here today saved by the grace of God because of what he did for you in the past. Amen. That good thing, that deposit of the gospel which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And then over in chapter 2, he goes in, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's why we believe in Bible schools and teaching the nationals how to teach their own people and win their own people. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And he talks about being a teacher and a soldier and an athlete and a farmer and all these things that you're going to have to do in your lifetime as you walk with the Lord. But this word commit is brought up several times in these chapters. And if there's a problem today, I think in our young people and in our colleges and in the churches with people not only surrendering to the mission field but staying together in the churches is this word of commitment. This word commit. It's just something that we just don't understand today. Something that we commit to God, and understand this, that whatever we commit to God, he is well able to take care of it. What I commit to him, he's well able to take care of it. And I say this morning, number one, My soul must be committed. My soul must be committed. That means this morning, if you are here and you've made a lot of commitments, surely over your life, to your job and to your family and to your school, have you ever committed your soul to that Lord that we've been preaching about this morning that is well able, the Bible says, to take care of you now and then in the future in heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let me share a story with you this morning. And I thought about it when the ladies were up here singing and the pastor got up and he said that some of you senior citizens are going to go to Washington and hand out tracts and see the monuments and all that. Just a few weeks ago, I did that. It was a strange thing. I was in a church in Clinton, Maryland, which is just a few miles from Washington. And they said they're going to take a bus and take the missionaries all over to see all the monuments and all of that. And the man in charge of that was named Brother White. And Brother White is a black man. And I mean, we had fun with him all week long until I heard his testimony. And we were going around to all the monuments and just enjoying being there and reading some of the things that was written on some of the markers at Arlington Cemetery. And we pulled around this corner in downtown Washington, and there was a lot of people standing on this one corner waiting for a bus to pick them up. There was one of those big steel grates, and it was cold, so there was some steam coming up out of those grates. And Brother White turned around to me and he said, "Brother Bragg," he said, "years ago," he said, "for two solid years, I slept on that grate." He said, "See those trash cans and those dumpsters around the corner?" He said, "I ate for 2 years out of those dumpsters." And that man gave his testimony. And now he's the head of a large rescue mission. He's a deacon in the church. He's doing just about everything that could. And I want to tell you something, but for the grace of God this morning, there's some of you, including myself, we would probably be in prison. We'd probably be down on Skid Row eating out of the dumpsters. But for the grace of God, here's a man that was standing there on that corner one day, and a guy from Clinton, Maryland, in that Baptist church, Independent Baptist Church of Clinton, Maryland, came by and gave him a simple gospel tract and witnessed to that man. But by the grace of God, he got saved. And now he's serving God. And just like so many of you, well, you know, my background and the things that's happened to me in my life, there's no way that I could ever serve God in that kind of capacity. Don't you let the devil sell you that bill of goods, because regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of what's transpired in your life, I guarantee you God has a place for you to serve in this ministry, in this church. And I think old Brother White all the time. It's hard to forget his name. But here's a man who was a down and outer. And when you go there next week or whenever it is you're going, just think about that. Old Brother White, that right over on that corner, someone handed him a gospel tract. Someone handed him a gospel tract. I'm saying to you this morning, my soul, your soul's got to be committed. 1973, in a Baptist church on a Friday night in Fort Smith, Arkansas, I got down on my knees as a Baptist. And I said, "Lord, I'm a Baptist, but I'm not saved. Would you save my wicked, ungodly soul?" I was 26 years old. Had no direction. Just wanted to make money. I say to you this morning, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. It's here for one moment and then it's gone. You do not know that you have tomorrow. Eternity is out there. You're just one heartbeat away from glory. Now, where are you going to spend it? In heaven or in hell? My soul must be committed. That word means to give charge or trust, consign. It also has the idea of a deposit. that deposit of faith. It was, well, if I had the faith, Brother Bragg, I'd just trust God for a lot of things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hey, get in the Word of God. Get at the prayer altar and see if God won't do what you want Him to do. You just ask Him. Get in the Word, and He'll meet the needs of your heart. Now look at this. Secondly, I must be committed. My soul must be committed. I must be committed. Romans says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And it's amazing to me in our churches today how much we're conforming to the world's set of standards in our churches rather than being conformed and transformed by the Word of God to do exactly what God wants us to do. What has happened to the godly young men that need to come and plant some churches around the world and in Africa? Hey, I'm telling you what, they're in worldly churches this morning teaching a worldly philosophy that means nothing and does nothing when the world is going to hell all around us. Now, I have no problem with a young man being a doctor. I have no problem with a young man being a businessman if that's what God wants him to do. There's some godly businessmen today that keep this church going. We need them. But I say that I must be committed. You know, when my kids started going to the mission field, I felt a little bit deeper. I'd get up and tell parents to give their kids to the mission field. A little bit different now when your own kids start going. But it's no less exciting, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Praise God, now I've got an excuse to see my grandkids everywhere in the world. Hey, I want to tell you something. Are you committed this morning? Have you ever come to a place in your life, young person, where you just went to an old-fashioned altar like we have here and said, Lord, I'll go anywhere, do anything that you want me to do, just as long as you're telling me what to do? Have you ever been willing enough just to say to God, I'm going to give it all to you? I think about the little boy every time in the Gospel of John, giving that sack lunch to the Lord. It wasn't a whole lot. And one of the disciples says, but what is this among so many? How are we going to feed this multitude of people with a little sack lunch from this little boy? But he did. God performed a miracle. And folks, I want to tell you something. We need a miracle today in our lives. And I'm not talking about what happens to you. Like the other night, I had a big sweet Vidalia onion, and I made me an onion sandwich. Amen. But if you'll do that about midnight, you'll have some kind of vision. But I'm telling you, it's not gonna be from God. But you will have a vision. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when God has control of everything that you are and everything that you want to be. And I'm not talking about just to the young people. I'm talking about some elderly, maybe retired people here today that just folded your arms and you sat down and you say, I'm going to write it out. When these young people are looking at you as an example of walking for years and years and years with the Lord, and they see no joy and they see nothing in your life. Didn't go over too well, so I'll go to the next point. And this one you'll like. We already covered this in Sunday school, so it won't be necessary. My substance must be committed. My substance must be committed. When we make a deposit, as God did in the life of Paul and in the life of Timothy, that deposit of the gospel, we expect some kind of return. Just recently, one of those Nigerian things, I get two or three a week saying, you know, we just need your bank number and we've got $40 million that we want to transfer to the United States from my great-granddaddy that was the treasurer of the country over here. and I want to do something Christian about that. Well, he stole it from the government over in Pittsburgh, Kansas, just a couple of weeks ago. The treasurer of that city embezzled $150,000 and took $50,000 of his own money, and it was all a hoax. It was all a con. People will give to that, and then when the pastor gets up and say, hey, we need to buy some two-by-fours, and we need to get this building up, you see that thing, you're training, you're doing exactly what we've been talking about this morning, training these young people, and we need a building to do it, and we need money to build that building, and for the glory of God, we're going to do this, and some people, well, we just can't afford it. But we'll go down and we'll hook that $40,000 bass boat up to the back of that Lexus. I love this part. Amen. But that $100 bill that you've got in your pocket that you've been saving for some toy, you won't give it to missions. Or to that building down there. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching, Brother Bragg. My substance must be committed. We don't have a lot, maybe, but what we have needs to be committed or deposited in the bank of glory, and let Him give us the dividends, and He's not going to let a one of you starve to death in the next few days. My soul must be committed. I must be committed. My substance must be committed. Well, Brother Bragg, you understand, I've got all mine wrapped up in my 401k. Anybody ever heard of Enron? You may think you have it in the bank, but I want to tell you something. God can put His finger on it anytime He wants to. And He always collects with interest. We don't have anything, folks. He has it all. And praise God, He does. And we're going to enjoy that one of these days. I wanted to go back again. I told you last time I was here about that gold mine in South Africa. They got a bunch of them. And I wanted to go back to that mine again just to get some more illustrations. And I told this one guy, I said, you know, all that gold, they told about the volume of gold that come out of this one mine. And I said, man, that's nothing. I said, I'm going to be walking on that stuff when I get to heaven. Amen. Some golden daybreak. It's going to come, folks. I'm saying to you, we've got to be committed people today. And the one thing I find in our young missionaries coming to the field is the lack of real commitment. Well, Brother Bragg, I can't get all my refrigerator, I can't get all my stuff up to that house on that hill because there's no road. Build a road! The pioneer spirit of what I'm talking about is just about gone from our young people because we've got all the computers and the cell phones and we've never done a day's work in our life. Man. Lastly, my service must be committed. A young missionary the other night to 1 o'clock on the phone broke my heart because he's got the idea that this work he's doing belongs to him. You see, this work's not your pastor, not Brother Ross. It doesn't belong to you. This thing belongs to God. And as we're faithful in getting the word out, then he is obligated by what he says in his word to supply the needs of the church, and it's going to go forward. But commitment, my service. I was on a plane the other day, sitting next to this young Chinese, and she had a business card with things after her name a mile long. And I started talking to her about God. And she said, who is God? Who is God? I don't understand what you're talking about. Who is God? And I was so stunned by that. I said, don't you have something that you worship? Well, it's not God. We don't know about God. About then the plane started to descend. It started its descent. And I didn't get to carry on my conversation with her. But you see, there's still people like that all the way around the world. There may be some in this city. And it does matter. It did matter this morning when you got in your car, when you wanted to lay there in bed for another hour, and you got in your car and you started out toward church, all your neighbors, they knew exactly where you was going. That workplace, wherever you are, in the factory, on that John Deere tractor, out in the middle of a field somewhere, somebody is watching you, somebody's listening to you, and I mean your work. You see, I've said it here many times, I'll say it again. If you are saved by the grace of God, God has called you to be a messenger. He's called you to be a missionary. Regardless of where you are, we are missionaries for the glory of God. And that makes us co-laborers together with Christ. I go a little farther than you did, but I'm no more important than the one that gives that gospel tract out on a street corner, Brother Ross, in Washington, D.C., that gets one man saved, and now he's got a multitude of guys saved, and they're out there going through the Bible school, and now they're getting trained to go out and do the same thing that that first man did. Our service must be committed. Let's go over to chapter 4. He says, preach the word in verse 2. And then look at verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'll just leave that where it is. Only Luke is with me. Now look at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You see, there was a time in Paul's life when all men, the Bible says, forsook him. I've told you about Dimajata many times. That first young Muslim that came to Christ. That we go back to Senegal, and he still got his bag of Bibles, and 30 years later, he's still preaching the Word of God. And he's in a land where he is hated, even by his family. Nobody stood with me. We went forward. And then he says back in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to finish my course standing for what's right, standing for the Word of God. And I want to keep my life on a daily basis totally committed preaching this book. I don't do the best job of it, but I'll tell you, my heart's in it, because I've made some commitments back yonder, and now I'm seeing my kids make some commitments. I'm seeing some friends make some commitments. I'm seeing some people that I led to the Lord make some commitments. And what a thrill it is to come to candidate school, like I will be in June, and have some missionary come up to me, say, well, we're here to get approved. We're going to Africa as missionaries. And they said, I made that commitment when I was a junior boy in a church in Iowa when you preached our first missions conference. Glory to God, folks. That commitment. These teenagers that made such an impact on my life and my wife when I was here last, those teenagers now, that's been over 5 years ago. They're young adults now. They're gone. I don't know where they are. But you are making a commitment to some of these young people. And I'm saying, with the building and with all that's going on here, don't drop the ball. Hang in there. My soul must be committed. Are you saved this morning? Do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? And the Bible says over and over, God is able. Paul said he knew what he had committed. He was committed to being committed. Convinced beyond reasonable doubt. What are you going to do this morning with your soul? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You must be committed. You say, well, Brother Bragg, I'm too old to go to the mission field. I haven't any training to go to the mission field. But you can pray. And you can send your money so that somebody else can go. But there's some in here that could go. Let God transform your mind so that He can transform and change your direction to go where He wants you to go, not where you want to go. Your substance, your money, who does it really belong to? Belongs to God. It belongs to God. My service. What you do, a cold glass of water in His name, God will use it. God will use it. I don't know what you can do today, but I know this. If you've never committed yourself to Him, you can't know what He wants. Would you do that this morning? We're going to take a few moments. We're not going to be long. I know you got to beat the Methodists to the restaurants. And you got to get out of here. Let's stand to our feet. Those of you who can, stand to our feet just for a moment. If the pianist would come and just play, I'll let the pastor take the invitation. But for right now, heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. No songbook in your hand to hide behind. As the pianist starts playing, are you committed this morning? Young person, what are you going to do with your life? Why don't you make that lifetime commitment, saying, God, if you will use me, I will commit my life to you. You just direct me where you want me to go. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done it? Businessman, what about your substance? Have you ever given all your earnings, everything that you have, to God and let Him run it for you? He can do it a lot better than you can. Christian, what about you this morning? Have you ever committed your life to Jesus Christ to do what He wants to do, to transform and change your mind by the power of God? What about your home this morning? What about your family? What about your young people? Are you committed to seeing them grow up and be a young Timothy that's going to live for God, that's going to change the destiny of so many across this great land? Our orphanage in Uganda, the theme of that orphanage is changing young lives to change the direction of a country. Hey, I want to tell you something. God will do it if you'll just make a commitment. If you'll just commit yourself to Him, understand that He'll take you, no matter what kind of baggage you're dragging along behind you. If you're not saved this morning, if you're just a Baptist and you've never really trusted Christ as your Savior, why don't you make your way down to the front and take the pastor by the hand? As the piano plays, we're going to do this. We're waiting for you. I know it's Sunday morning, and I know it's close to 12 o'clock, but we've got time. Take that first step for Him and see if He won't take that first step toward you. Would you do it this morning? Pastor's going to come take the service.